Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to episode 440 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
How we doing, fellas?
Great, thanks.
Feeling nice and fucking chilled out as we roll down towards the summer vacation. But
chilled
a lot
out.
Of things happened today.
Chilled out as much as a champion can be.
You're dealing with the aftermath and trying to cover up, your fucking bad eating mates that you smuggle over the border and stuck in the friends and family section at the ground and all that sort of shit. But breaking the trophy and just cementing yourselves as the biggest pack of cunts that have won a grand final and I can't fucking remember when. When's the last time that, we had, there was a bit of drinkies, there was a bit of benderism from the two main suspects last year. I can't remember a lot about...
Do you know what it is?
Overtly fucking stupid. I remember Dylan Walker dropping his ring in the fucking harbour. And that was back, in 2014.
What, did he think it was a woman?
Well, no, I didn't say he didn't punch it into the water. He didn't punch it into the water.
I think some of it, and yeah, definitely there's been some fucking shocking behaviour, and we went on record talking about, fucking dregs
everything
like Tyrone May last week. The interesting thing about this grand final that I haven't really seen mentioned yet is that it's in isolation. Like, their celebrations have been in isolation. You normally get all of the other Mad Monday stuff that goes with it. But this was the only post-season celebration that anyone had. Like, all the Melbourne Storm people did was have a sad fucking five-person gathering racking up in a hotel room. And
well, this is the thing. Most of the other ones were all in-house without phones.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. So they were just, because they were in-house in COVID-safe bubble hotel areas.
Yeah.
It actually kept out the drones and,
yeah,
and the shit that could catch them with their dicks out,
So this is what the NRL has learned. Put all teams into a bubble for the last 2 weeks of the fucking season.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know what? These players, lots of different players grew up playing for the same clubs and all that sort of, and juniors and everything together. Throw them all in a fucking resort and the players can all... the players could all chill with their boys from the other teams as well. It's just, a fly on the wall in there would see some shit, I'm sure, but, it'd basically be an unvideoed weekend of, Dylan Napa WhatsApp. just guys punching holes in their anuses and, shadow boxing and all that shit. But, Instagram Live. Has a fucking lot to answer for.
Doesn't it what?
Yeah, fucking hell.
It doesn't even have that split second thing where you can think before you press send. Like, is it a good idea to fucking add this video to my account?
That's it. Do you know who should see?
When it's live, you're just forgetting it.
Like, do you know who should see this thing that's going to go on that I have zero control over because it involves a bunch of other people? You know who should see that?
Yeah. Yeah,
fucking
the world.
Everyone.
Earth. In the tradition of news coming out the day we record, though, today we had a couple of... We had the absolute confirmation that the new NRL side, the 17th team for the competition, joining in 2023, will be the Redcliffe Dolphins. They look like they were underdogs at some point. They never campaigned overtly as hard as some of the other ones. Remember how we had the Brisbane Bombers and they were doing their launch and their campaign. Then the fucking the Firehawks and Yeah, all these Ipswich, you know, they all wanted to throw their hat in the ring and everything. And, like, they all had, you know, and Redcliffe was kind of like, oh, we'll do it. And then just flopped their dick out and, you know, said, like, $100 million of like, here's our fucking 40,000 Leaguesy members and our fucking Coles that we own and our fucking all the rest of the shit.
Stadium.
Yeah, stadium.
Leagues Club. Wayne Bennett.
Yeah. And then, yes, and then followed up swiftly after with Wayne Bennett. Will be the coach. He's on a 3-year deal with the Dolphins. And at this stage, it's saying that I don't think it's 100% confirmed because, like the Vlandis era, they'll sort of, you know, look at the people on Facebook and see what they say first. But they won't be named Redcliffe, and it'll be just like, you know, the Dolphins. And they may not adopt a location-based kind of name. Although they're saying that Moreton Bay, River City and Sun State are some of the names that have been put forward. I also think that not their branding, but I think their colours are going to change a little bit. I mean, because they're red and white, whereas, you know, the Dragons are white and red, and there's probably some similarities there. I heard, and I haven't seen it written down in any of the media yet, so whether it happens or not, I'm not sure. But I heard something that they were looking to add, like, a gold to their color as well, and so similar to, say, like the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, okay.
So they'd be like the red and gold and white. So and to differentiate themselves from the Dragons, essentially. Now,
Nathan, I just find that maybe you need to do a little bit more research, or at least cover all of the potential names thrown out for the Dolphins. I'm just looking.
What other names?
Just looking bit of a list here or a poll. On news.com.
Oh, God, a poll, okay.
Listen, what should the Dolphins officially be known as? Wait for it. The Dolphins, the Brisbane Dolphins, the Southeast Queensland Dolphins, the Redcliffe Dolphins, Greater Northern Brisbane Dolphins.
That's Brisbane, fucking stupid.
Just wait for it. We haven't quite got there. Brisbane football team, or my personal favourite, the Brisbane human beings.
So, what? So that poll, who did that have user? Did that have, like? Can anyone add items to that poll?
Yeah, but no, see, Glenn, the last one is funny because it's a reference to the popular television show Community.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen that. So,
yeah,
that's maybe it should be the Brisbane referential retards.
Well, why not?
You didn't have to point that out to us. That's what I was inferring by telling you. And isn't Brisbane Football Club a shout out to that American team that were used to be
Washington,
racist.
Yeah, Washington football team, formerly the Washington Redskins, and yeah, they had to drop the Redskins situation because obviously, you know, racism, and they've had how many fucking decades they've had that team name, but they've just realized now, oh shit, yeah, that might be offensive. That might be offensive to Native Americans. So if this is a set, they're actually this is the season's like what it's into week 5's coming up this weekend. So no, sorry, week 6 is coming up this weekend, isn't it? So they're 6 weeks into
season 3,
the season after. So there's a whole season, and then they're in another 6 weeks that they still haven't decided. So it's at this point they may just be the Washington football team.
And so are they saying that maybe they shouldn't be called the Dolphins because that indeed is also racist against Dolphins.
Racist against sea life.
They're trying to be funny.
Yeah,
I get it, mate.
Like, I mean, the only way that that poll could have been more fucking lame was if one of the options was like Dolphy McDolphin face. Like, and then they would have hit every touchstone of every poll abuse that's happened over the last 5 years.
Here's the thing: the Brisbane Broncos, like, what a fucking absolute closed-minded shit cunt mentality of that whole organization. Reports are that they don't want to share anything to do with the word Brisbane.
Mm.
Right? So, is that even a fucking thing? Like, what is it? Are they now fighting for the fucking imaginations of those released from Manus Island who turn up, know nothing about rugby league, and are worried they might like a Dolphin more than a Bronco? Anyone that is going to have anything to do with these fucking clubs understands who the Brisbane Broncos are, understands their legacy, understands their history, laughs at their future. But it's
masturbates not like, over their recent past.
It's not like these new clubs going to come in and people are like, oh,
you're well, less, a team in Brisbane.
Less Brisbane-y now. There is less Brisbane about you than there was last season, and therefore, I will not support you because you are not the most Brisbane that you could probably be.
The Brisbane Dolphins, there's a team in Brisbane. I need to support them because you know, I'm in Brisbane. When did this happen?
But at the same time, there's no reason to not be fucking Redcliffe either. I mean, Penrith is Penrith, Parramatta, Manly, Cronulla. I mean, sure, they've scaled back some of the suburb names over the decades, like Balmain and as an example, and they turned them into an abomination. North
True.
Sydney,
there is though, because in Brisbane, Redcliffe has its own connotations, and if you are called the North Brisbane Dolphins, then that widens your potential fan base. So if you said the North Brisbane Dolphins, you then capture everyone from Windsor, which is probably the next northerly suburb from the city and the inner city Fortitude Valley.
Think about it. Just from the river. So you've got the city down
the city, then the valley,
Ascot, Hamilton, then back. Yeah.
So. That's it. I think it just captures more if it's North Brisbane rather than Redcliffe.
I'd be happy with that.
Yeah. One, North Brisbane Dolphins. Stop being fucking idiots about it. Volandis, if you need a fucking explanation, just listen to the show. We know you do. We know you're a massive fan.
North Brisbane Dolphins. But yeah, North Brisbane Dolphins. And I believe that they will be actually maintaining their Queensland side as well for the for Intrust and all the other and the three other grades as well. So
and well, they should.
Yeah, and so they'll have their own direct feeders straight through, which is fantastic, and actually even better than the Brisbane Broncos. They don't have to fucking co-opt another Intrust club to feed themselves. Now there's a list of here that I've seen of it's not an exhaustive list, but apparently there's 157 NRL players who are going to be coming on off contract next year, and thus they can be started negotiations with from November 1st.
Ooh.
Names include Cameron Munster.
Gone.
I think he is an absolute fucking certainty.
Agree.
Yep.
Absolute certainty. Here's one for you though, boys. Apparently there's a get-out clause. Callum Ponga.
Stop it.
I'm telling you right now, boys, take a picture, fucking write it down.
Yeah, gone.
Put it on a USB.
100% gone.
Upload it to the cloud. I'm telling you right the fuck now, I'll change my mind on him if he fucking leaves the Knights and goes to Redcliffe.
Well, I'll tell you what. Do they do audio NFTs? Because we've just made one.
Oh, I tell you, I'm gonna the price to mint that one. We're gonna start it at 5 ETH. So, now, Christian Welch, Cody Walker, Anthony
Welch,
Milford, Clint Gutherson, and Reed Marnie.
Hang on,
slow Clint down. Gutherson.
Yeah,
Clint Gutherson.
Yeah.
Munster's gone, and he'll be gone because Melbourne won't offer him.
Yeah.
Like they will lowball him, so he'll go. Welsh, I don't think will go. I think he'll stand by the Storm.
I don't know that Welsh is the same player at any other club anyway. To be honest,
yeah, maybe.
Mm. Ponga probably. Who else did you say?
Cody Walker.
I reckon he'd follow Wayne.
Yeah, agree.
And given that Souths are probably in this window closed era now.
Yeah. Look, Reynolds is a big loss. I don't think it's as firmly shut as you might be implying, but...
Well, it's Redfern, it's probably boarded up.
Jesus Christ. When was the last time you were in Redfern? You can't fucking get dinner in there for less than $80 a head.
Yeah, in some parts of Redfern, I agree.
Yeah,
exactly. There's others.
Yeah, look, he'd follow Wayne.
Yeah, I think so.
I think Milford wants to, but
imagine Wayne. Well, I mean, Wayne sort of got him down to the Rabbits, but I mean, than when he's leaving. I wonder. Look, his best football took place under Wayne. Wasn't the same after Wayne left.
But so did his worst football.
Has he got a one-year deal at South?
Well, no. His worst football clearly occurred under Seabold and Kevy. I mean, take your pick which one.
Yeah.
Has he got a one-year deal at South?
Must be, yeah. So
does he even have a deal, though? Any word on him after he allegedly belted his missus? And
that went really quiet really quickly, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll play out whenever the courts have to look at it.
That's it.
Gutherson and Reed Marnie. So
Gutho, no.
Reed Marnie would be a handy get, though.
Fuck, he would be, hey. And that's not a terrible spine. Munster, Walker.
Ponga.
Marnie.
Who plays seven?
Take your pick. Essentially got
fucking Walker. Two fullbacks and 3 5-8s.
Does have a look. You would call that spine Alex McKinnon because it does have the potential to snap.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, we've seen some great Origin teams built around spines with players thrown around into various positions. So, yeah. Now, I don't know if there's anything else, what else to talk about. The competition will extend into a 26 round comp. As the Dolphins enter the comp, each team will play 24 games, and they'll increase the regular season games to 204 from the current 192. Each team gets 2 byes. So, look, you know what? The only negative question I have about this whole thing is Magic Round. One team is going to miss out on all the magic of Magic Round, or their fan base will be able to. Their fan base will be able to go.
Magic Round's the only time we fucking play well. Why would you take that away from us?
Exactly. But if there's one fan base that deserves to have even the one small bit of joy they get in the year ripped away from them, surely it's those guys.
Why? As if you don't think you're enough.
You think you deserve any happiness?
Me personally or my club?
Like,
it's
you
a
dumb,
very loaded question.
You dumb fuck should have given life your safe word ages ago. Anything you get now is your own fault.
Our safe word is Scott Prince.
Now, what do you think that maybe the first 9 rounds of the season or whatever it is before Magic Round is like almost a mini comp within a comp where the object is to not be in the last position going into Magic Round because the team that's coming last has a bye and the fans don't get to enjoy watching them play at Magic Round. It just adds a bit more spice to proceedings.
Boys, can I table something for discussion?
Yes.
I would like our official stance on giving shit to people who change teams. My thoughts would be that there is an amnesty for jumping onto the Dolphins. That if you would like to, then you are free to do so. But there's no jumping back without merciless fucking ridicule and loss of all credibility.
Yeah, look, I feel that we've been pretty clear in the second team rulings, and I thought that there was always a provision in our stance to say if you live in a city and you know and you don't have a team in that city and then a team emerges through expansion, then you know you can jump onto that team no problem at all. I mean, it happened when on a large scale when the Broncos entered the competition, I'm sure.
Yep.
Didn't happen when the Titans came in, of course. People just basically stayed with whoever they were going for already.
There's a couple of fucking desperates that decided that they were going to be Titans fans, but, you know, fuck those guys.
that's totally fine. Also, I think there's a massive amnesty in place for Broncos fans who want to jump over onto a new side if they've had enough.
Mm.
By all means, do it.
Two years of not making the finals.
Look, I know for a fact that there are people in Brisbane that were Broncos supporters up until 1996. And after Super League fucking wiped them and only watch Origin and have been waiting for another fucking team to come in.
Are you just talking about your dad?
Well, no, he's dead. So fucking, yeah, he can't fucking support any team. So it would have to be, I'd have to be talking about other people as well. I'm sorry, I didn't fucking tell you the news, did I?
No. No, you fucking didn't.
Yeah.
Well, I thought I was the only one out of the loop, but now I see Jay's face and...
No, what day is it today? Wednesday. So when was it? 7 weeks ago. 7 weeks ago yesterday.
Oh, fellas. God.
Yeah. Okay. So not exactly the way I felt like breaking that news, but...
How is it that it's only just come up?
I know, right? I'm fucking Captain Compartmentalization. Record a show on a Sunday night, record a show on a Wednesday night. That happens in between. No one fucking knows.
We love you, man. We love you. It's all good.
I'm fucking shocked. I'm shaking.
I can see your... Told you it's been a rough year, listeners. Look, Gleddy's actually fucking... You right, mate?
Yeah, I'm okay.
It wasn't your day, mate. It was mine.
No. He fucking died a long time ago, so he can't die again. Although, last round of this season, I think he probably did die again, if I'm honest.
He literally reanimated from the dead so he could kill himself over that dying performance. Yeah.
That's it. And that's how the Redcliffe Dolphins came to be known. Because my old man came back to life in Redcliffe and gave himself a dolphin conversion, so he never had to deal with that shit again.
That's fucking great. Oh look at that. Your fucking callbacks to fucking past things. Oh, tremendous. I love your work, Glennie. Now, did we talk enough about Wayne Bennett? We said it was a 3-year deal, right?
Yeah.
I don't think he actually has... I don't think he's put pen to paper yet, but it's happening in the coming days. 3-year guaranteed deal, potential option for a 4th year. And it's going to be announced this week, and then he will start at the Dolphins from the 1st of November. And they're saying that the deal was inked or brokered by Sam Ayoub, and there are concerns at Parramatta... who are trying to currently retain 3 of his clients in Clint Gutherson, Reed Marnie, and Junior Paulo.
It's okay, Para fans. I'm pretty sure Gutho's safe.
Can I just stop and say that that was still a better reveal than Josh Reynolds?
Oh, yes.
Skeletons.
Still the best fucking line that never was.
Yeah, fucking hell. that might be drawing a bit of a long bow. Didn't you say there were 157 players off contract next
year? Yeah, 157 players off contract for the 2023. Yeah.
I'm not sure that any of those mentioned are cornerstone pieces of your franchise. If I say to you guys, you've got the keys to the Dolphins and you are building around it, and you can pick any, not even the 157 that are off, any player in the NRL at the moment, you're starting with a Cleary. You're starting with a Tommy. You know?
Yeah, but they're both locked up, so
no, but I'm saying, you know. But to get rid of the bulk of your salary cap.
Yeah.
You know, Clint Gutherson wants $1 million a year.
Yeah, well, look at this. If they're getting Ponga, they're not going to worry about Gutho, right?
That's it. But again, even if we're not just talking those, well, yeah, okay, I take Ponga for $750 or whatever he's on, or even a mil over Gutho.
Oh, yeah, fuck yeah.
You know, But again, do you want to blow $1 million to your salary cap on that player? So, yeah, I think you're safe, Eels fans. I think you are safe. Safe as houses.
But does that mean... But when you're talking about... Would you give it to Munster?
Sorry?
Would you give it to Munster?
Well, as the incumbent Queensland six, you probably would. Again, if you want a cornerstone piece. Now, we all know Munster's a bit of a loose unit and has a brain snap in him. But, okay, you've won multiple premierships. You've won Origin. You've played for your country. You know, you've succeeded in the toughest arenas the sport has to offer in a role with some of the most pressure in it on the field. You've also tasted defeat in those arenas.
Has a good relationship with the coach as well.
If I'm a new franchise, especially being a Queensland player that's done all that,
fuck yeah,
I get him.
And I think the million-dollar player, you know, what that means has been cheapened by several players being paid $1 million that should never be in that fucking category.
Yeah. We're going to talk about one of those next too, actually.
Yeah.
It's the next story I got lined up here. But it's just to what you said about cornerstone players for a new team, let me just remind you that the Gold Coast Titans entered the competition on the back of, what was it, Luke Preston Bailey. Campbell and Luke Bailey.
And Scott Prince.
On the Coke Zeros. Yeah. I don't think those names that you mentioned are too far out of the fucking realm of...
Oh, Preston. When the Titans came in, what I remember from that time was that the joke was that already they were a retirement home. That everyone that went there used to be great.
Yep.
But when they went to the Titans, they were just past it. Maybe some nostalgia factor. I don't think Cam Munster's past it.
No, fuck no.
You know, Caelan Ponga's obviously not.
No. Reed Marnie's only just at the start of a promising career as well.
That
remember, you know, was almost delivered in, you know, State of Origin.
Do they only get the 157, or are they going to get special dispensation to go after
contracted players? You know how it is. I mean, like, players agitate for release and get releases and things happen, and, you know, and I'm sure that it'll be no different
with these guys. Unless you're Ben Simmons. Bitch.
Well, yeah, exactly. Fucking pay the fine, you bitch. You coward ass little bitch.
I was listening to one of the Ringer NBA podcasts today, and they read an article from a Philadelphia newspaper. And fuck me, you talk about like insular media and echo chambers and that sort of shit. The article starts off with the sentence, "The only thing Ben Simmons is more afraid of than shooting is losing money." fuck that guy.
Ash Taylor. Glennie was looking forward to a full year of catching up with Ash Taylor down at the fucking Macca's at Toowoomba there, getting his delicious fucking barista-made coffees. But no. No, Ash Taylor has signed a train and trial contract with the Warriors for 2022. There's an option there at the end in the club's favour. And so he's gone from $1 million deal, which expires in November, the one you have with the Titans there. And he has a chance of a one-year contract with the Vodafone Warriors after signing a train and trial deal with a club top 30 option for 2022. So he's going to join them when they start their 2022 season, their preseason at Redcliffe. And Peter O'Sullivan, the Warriors recruitment manager, says that Ash has backed himself to recapture his best form with the chance of a one-year contract with us. He has some very achievable targets set for him and is looking forward to joining the squad next month. And Nathan Brown, for his part, is confident that Taylor will make the most of his opportunity.
Won't go past December.
You reckon?
Nah.
Why not?
He would have to fucking blow the absolute lid off their fucking preseason training camp. They've got Sean Johnson going back there.
Who's injury prone, and had a and a, had a mostly cooked
and
season.
And Harris DeVito is going to play six.
Yeah.
Who I else don't is there? See. I don't.
Walsh,
and,
Walsh is there. Are they keeping him at one?
I reckon they're at one. Mate. I don't think his best position is one, but I think that they'll keep him at one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and with that being
also,
said,
they're also banking on Ash Taylor to put in months of high level, high intensity training to get himself back into the shape that's required to rediscover his best form. I don't see it happening.
Do you think that the potential life-changing scare that a salary of $1 million being reduced to a salary of $0 entails may provide him the motivation he needs?
Look, you would hope it would. I think that's
on face value. Does he strike as the type of guy to put that effort in?
I think that Ash Taylor,
you know what?
Given that he hasn't really been involved in any fuckery. He was just a kid that got offered a ton of money to switch clubs and took it. I think that I could back him for a redemption story and coming back the hard way. And
I reckon it's
at a club like the Warriors, where I think there's opportunity for him if he can play well in the preseason and do what he needs to do.
I think the potential might be a bit overstated in terms of the opportunity. I think it sounds like he has been bought exclusively as cover for a half, i.e. Sean Johnson, going down for an extended period of time. I think that is why he's there, no more, no less. For Ash Taylor, you're right, Nate. All he ever did was want to play footy, get offered shit tons of money and take it.
Yep.
Now, if you think in this situation, put him in any other club. Put him in Manly, right? Let's say Cherry fucked off to the Titans.
Yep.
And he ended up at Manly. And he got to have a couple of seasons under Dez and then the tail end of that crew. And now would be playing in a team with the stars that it's got now.
Yep.
I think we'd be speaking about Ash Taylor very, very differently. So I think he's got it in him. I'm not sure the Warriors just on their own are the place to make it happen.
Yep.
As in you would suggest that the Roosters or say the Storm, just by virtue of who's around you,
Nathan Brown, to use your analogy, Nathan Brown ain't Des Hasler.
No, he's not. But you would hope that he takes the opportunity. That's what you do. Because he seems to me like a solid individual contributor. I think where clubs fall down, the Titans fell down, was trying to make him a leader. And it's fucking tough to do, to play in the halves and not be a leader of the club. But I think they put too much pressure on him to carry the club and be the face of the club far too early. Like, look, who's in that class? Like, he was Rookie of the Year that year. Obvious thing for this year's Twillies Rookie of the Year winner, whoever it is, they'll obviously go on to fizzle out just like Ash Taylor did. Nathan Cleary was runner up, and it took him from his rookie year another three or four to really start to look like the caliber of player that he is now. And that's in a system where Gus Gould was involved and really had everything humming.
Mm. Yeah.
Right, so, you sold me. Ash Taylor redemption story.
Yeah, don't be a hater.
That's rich coming from you cunts.
Glenn. And now, the thing about Taylor's release there from the Gold Coast Titans is, despite having two seasons to go on his contract, Jamal Fogarty is likely to be released, he's released so he could join the Raiders.
Yeah, good get for them.
It's a fucking it's a good get for Canberra, who have struggled with the halfback position, with the disgruntled George Williams.
Mm.
But the Titans, though, fuck me, they're going all in on Sexton.
Yeah, they are.
And look, he looked decent in the couple of opportunities they gave him, but they didn't close out the year with him for their run to the finals or anything. I mean, he got a couple of games in there towards the end of the season. and he looked okay, kicked well, but he wasn't their, you know, their first choice halfback, and it didn't look like he was quite that level, but they're fucking all in now.
But they've let Peachy, Fogarty and Taylor all go.
Yes.
Which means
Brimson has to go to the halves now.
Has to.
They have to have Campbell now.
At one.
He's going to be starting at one, yep.
Yep.
So Brimson to 5'8".
I think he has to be in. And then that means that Sexton gets first shot at seven.
Now, how long has Peachy been at the Titans? 2 years?
Two or three, yeah.
There you go. See, that's what happens. You let Tyrone Peachy go 2 years later, premiership.
Yeah, the other thing that I find, I've seen Titans fans kind of rationalising and you know, blah, blah, Sexton's the future. Okay, whatever. But just from a straight business perspective, there was talk there that the Raiders wanted Fogarty bad, and the Titans were like, under no circumstances we're going to release him. He's got 2 years left on his contract, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
So Raiders were going to sweeten the deal and say, how about we give you a swap for Josh Hodgson? A player in a position that the Titans have never had a fucking good player in for years. That's the one piece that they've needed for years.
Although based on his 2021, like he's obviously an upgrade from Mitch Rain.
Yeah, but like I just think he's a disgruntled Pom in a club where there was a lot of disgruntled Poms, and you had Bateman last year, and then you had Williams this year.
He's certainly not bad enough for the Titans to go, no, fuck, don't worry about that. We'll just release Fogarty.
So I think that what they, you know, that he's a definite upgrade, and I think that they might have been able to get something out of him with a change of scenery out from under Ricky Stewart. Because remember, he had the shits because of the Tarpany stuff. You know, he just had the shits because of Canberra Raiders, really.
But with disgruntled Poms, a good idea is to get them in the place in Australia that is the furthest from England as you can possibly imagine, which is the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
You know, sunshine, beaches and attractive people.
Yeah, exactly. Cold beers, you can sell him on the life of an actual human being and not a fucking cave troll from up in the fucking snowy north.
That's it.
And shout out to our listeners over there in merry old England.
Shout out to no one, you fucking Brexit merchants.
Cunts, a lot of them.
Hey, speaking of England, you see that Jimmy Maloney fell short in the grand final over there in England. They lost 12-10 to St. Helens. And the one thing, though, out of this game, I would take the game out of the table, Lachie Coote is amassing for himself like a sneaky fucking decent career.
Yeah, fucking earth.
Over the last, you know, he's got his premiership over here with the Cows.
Yep.
He's on a three-peat now of premierships in England. They've won three in a row there.
Yep.
He's had a fucking, I mean, he's won nines. He's amassing for himself one of these sneaky fucking great careers.
I don't want to say he was cut short here, but I think he was hardly done by the Cows. I think he had a lot of fucking NRL level football left.
Yeah,
he wasn't cooked by any stretch of the imagination.
Look, there's players that have definitely been playing in the NRL obviously far longer than they should have that have still gone to England and not have been as successful as Lachlan Coote, who, as you say, could have contributed quite solidly to any number of teams in the NRL.
Yeah, that's it.
I always love watching Lachie Coote play. He's fucking
fantastic.
Massive heart.
Yeah.
Massive heart.
Now, the last story I want to talk about, and look, I don't know how much of a story this really even is, but the NRL has revealed their intention to cash in on the explosion of legalized sports betting in the US, which experts predict could result in an increase of more than 50% of the code's current wagering income within the next 5 years. So saying domestic sports wagering has become an increasingly lucrative revenue raiser for the game, particularly during lockdown. It brought in $16 million in 2017, but that figure's grown to $40 million during the past league financial year. So the NRL thinks there's even more upside if they can tap into the market in the US. Sports betting has long been illegal anywhere but in the state of Nevada, but now other US states are legalizing it to turn billions of dollars in black market bets into taxable income. So the director of the ARLC, Gary Weiss, has been tasked with developing wagering products for the American market with a view to enticing overseas punters to gamble on the NRL.
It's actually a fucking hilarious economic situation at the moment in America. So all of these like uber conservative states with uber fucking, you know, Republican governors who believe in fucking the Bible and, you know, if you're raped, you better not have an abortion because God made that man rape you. That's God's baby you're killing.
They're looking at the forecast of revenue generated from legalized gambling.
Well, post-COVID, right? So post-COVID, America is a very state-based economy. So they have very different taxes depending on what state you live in, income taxes, business taxes, you know, everything. There's a national tax code and state-based ones. I understand this is fucking thrilling listening for a sports podcast. But so COVID has smashed a lot of those taxes. So whereas here in Australia, the government here, state government here in Queensland, they'll get stamp duty. They'll get, you know, your local governments will get your rates. But the main source of income is through distribution of the GST, which is a federal tax. Over there, it hurts the states directly. Now, the laws are also very heavily state-based. And so all of these uber-conservative states who for the longest times have had these fucking moral standings of we don't like sex, we don't like drugs, we don't like rock and roll, we don't like partying, they're now starting to legalize sports betting, prostitution, and marijuana. So everyone's got fucking morals until the money's on the line.
Yep.
And there's an easy buck. So look, it's legitimately a thing. I don't think, like, there's a lot of issues with sports betting in America. I don't think lack of selection is one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And especially since, you know, at the moment, if this was 20 years ago and sports betting became legal in America, there would be something for it. But there's this wonderful thing called the internet and smartphones and applications and VPNs, where you can do all sorts of things to actually gamble at the moment in America.
Yes.
So, yeah, look, you might get some fucking degenerate. Like, I know growing up that there were people who listened to this show that would be awake in their room at 3 a.m. betting on fucking Ecuadorian handball.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I don't think it's going to be a massive revenue raiser.
Yeah, the time for this shit was 18 months ago when we were the only game in town.
Yes. But then, see, it wasn't legal then.
Yeah, yeah. However, they still could have captured the, you know, any of the places and offshore places that people do bet through in the United States. Anyway, because, I mean, they're acting like, you know, this illegality on paper actually stopped people from betting on shit anywhere.
That's it.
Like, I mean, it's just not the case. Do you know what's spookier than seeing a black cat on Halloween? It's shaving your balls with anything other than Manscaped. When it comes to below-the-waist grooming, there's no need to carve your pumpkins this Halloween because Manscaped is here to upgrade your grooming experience. Go from a bite-sized candy bar, Glennie, to a king-sized candy bar and join the 2 million men worldwide by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code TWILNATION.
I suggest everyone do exactly what I've been doing. And at Halloween, you stand at your front door and you wait for the kids to come and knock and to trick or treat. And then the minute you open the door, you take out your Manscaped 4.0, pretend to shave your neck, then pretend to cut yourself and then spray the pre-prepared little packet of tomato sauce you ripped off from 7-Eleven all over the kids while screaming at the top of your lungs. They'll think that you've necked your fucking artery, but you know that with Manscaped's patented technology, keeps your skin super safe and close to nick-proof. Scare them the safe way.
That sounds like you'd end up on a watch list of some description.
On your neck. I'm not saying pretend to shave your scrot and then spray them with sauce.
Oh, now look, my ask at Horn Houses, it's pretty scary down there until I found the Lawnmower 4.0 and I took to it and I was fairly merciless, if I'm honest. I'm a little disappointed because I no longer have a werewolf to... I'm going to have to go and buy a costume rather than just stripping off my gear and going as a pretty ordinary fucking werewolf, if I'm honest. But now I'm smooth as a baby's bottom, and it's no good for Halloween, but it's good for the sexy times, so can't complain.
Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code TWILNATION at manscaped.com. That is 20% off plus free shipping with the code TWILNATION at manscaped.com. Say trick or treat to your beautiful new Halloweeny with Manscaped. Mailbag time, and the first question we have is from Ross. He said, given the Dolphins are favourites for the second Brizzy team, and since confirmed probably since he made the post, do you think there may be an issue with rusted on league supporters of other Queensland Cup teams not following them? Originally, West Newcastle wanted the NRL licence, but Newcastle Rugby League, rightly because of West dominance, decided a lot of Newcastle people would not be behind them and went with a new club. A good decision at the time. After they got into trouble financially, people accepted that West were the best to get them out of it. Look, there may be an element of that, but there's also a huge element of people who don't follow the Intrust Super Cup, are disgruntled with the Brisbane Broncos, and wanting to make a break to a new team, or people that refuse to follow the Brisbane Broncos and have been waiting for the introduction of a new team. So, well, I agree with everything you say. Are there people of supporters of other Queensland Cup teams? I've seen plenty from Wynnum people.
Yeah.
Wynnum people, of course, who don't actually follow, who wouldn't follow them anyway because they support Penrith. But
I think the issue with your question there is that people who are so staunch a fan of rugby league that they would put themselves through watching a QRL match are not the target for the new expansion team. Like the QRL, everything it stands for, being associated with Queensland Rugby League, it's absolute fucking horrendous corruption, the blight that Queensland Rugby League is on the game. People that are fans of that probably aren't intelligent enough for the Dolphins to want them on board. Seriously, if you're that rusted on, they're not expecting you. And I think it would be silly of them to include you in their forecasts. They want, again, the family whose kids might play footy and who would have been Broncos fans but live on the north side of Brisbane.
Mm-hmm.
Or who live on the Sunshine Coast and don't have Brisbane because that don't have the Gold Coast.
Because that is something that I didn't mention earlier as well, that they'll be playing, not as many games as at Redcliffe as I would like, with a lot of games being played at Suncorp, they're also actually having games up at the Sunny Coast Stadium as well.
Yep.
So not only are they sort of laying claim to the North Brisbane side of things, but they're also actively taking themselves out to the Sunshine Coast as well, which is great, which is a fucking great idea.
And that's the thing. Like that's how it starts holistically.
Yeah.
Like little kids, they go to visit fucking grandma and grandpa and they're, You know, one's a Dragon supporter and one's a fucking Balmain supporter. And they go and visit fucking the Balmain supporter's grave because they necked themselves after 1989. Then Grandpa takes them out to watch a footy game. And the local one, there's a team playing up close. We'll go to the Sunny Coast Stadium because we've fucking retired at Kiwana or wherever it is. We'll go and watch a footy game. They get him there. They get him the fucking hat and the flag and the T-shirt, and they have a fucking grand old time at the ground. That's how it starts.
The Dolphins smash the Tigers, and yeah. The kids have got a new love.
That's it. Granddad goes home, takes two Viagra and hate wanks.
Tynan says, oh, here we go. Tynan says, which was better, The Godfather or Goodfellas?
Godfather.
Look, you ask an excellent Godfather question.
Godfather 2 is better than Goodfellas. Goodfellas is better than Godfather 1.
Yeah, I'm probably inclined to agree with you because, I mean, certainly in the power rankings of Godfathers, Godfather 2 is the better.
Yes.
Fuck, man, it's tough, though. I think I have to say that Godfather 2 is probably a better movie.
Godfather 2 is a better movie.
Yeah, but, you know, like, then it comes down to which would be my favourite if I was playing off, you know, the three of them, because we've introduced Godfather 2 to the equation. Yeah, Goodfellas is up there. I do enjoy watching Goodfellas.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
But, yeah, like, you know, yeah, it's obviously, you know, a subjective sort of feel in terms of entertainment, but, yeah, I think that probably Godfather 2 is probably the best.
Have you seen Goodfellas, Clint?
Yeah. Many, many moons ago, but I have seen it. That's all good. The Godfathers, so... Fuck all you haters.
Wow. Have you seen three?
Yes.
Well, then my status as hater is fucking justified. You're a terrible person. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Look, I spend fucking far too many hours per week associating with you, so I agree. I am a terrible person.
Okay, Liam says, as a stern Manly supporter that resides on the sunny coast that doesn't believe in second teams, if I barrack for the Dolphins... Only against everyone else, no merchandise or public displays of affection, would I be a hypocrite?
Oh, man. You're a fan of rugby league.
Yeah.
You're a fan of rugby league. I mean, look, at the end of the day, whilst I am a staunch anti-second team person, I do consider, in a way, that hashtag fuck the Broncos is almost a team. In terms of my devotion to the cause, and so look, you know, if that makes me a hypocrite, then
your stance is softening. You're like Al Qaeda the second time round.
Yeah, look, yeah, you know, I want to see the Dolphins do well against everyone except for my team for sure. Because I'm also not only my team fuck the Broncos, I'm also team rugby league, and I want to set the 17th team. To be extremely successful, because I want an 18th team in there pretty shortly fucking after, so to get rid of these goddamn buys.
Yeah, that's it.
So, or kicks us out. I don't care. Either, you know, equalise the competition somehow. I don't mind how. As long as you don't bring North in, I'm happy.
And I think when we talk about second teams, we're talking about, like, emotional investment and support.
Yeah, and we're talking about, like, you know, a person wearing a Broncos jersey to a game and a Cowboys hat.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. Or worst of all, the absolute hybrid fucking menace that wears one of those half and half jerseys.
Fuck.
They're the absolute lowest of the low. Oh, it's like them on the bottom rung, Dennis Ferguson slightly above them.
Do you remember Mr. Wars at the inaugural Magic Round?
I do. Like that's what I was talking
about.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, cunt, what the fuck? Like, how can you fucking live with yourself? It's fucking great.
I don't remember what the guy's explanation was, but I think it satisfied him.
It was something like, you know, I don't know.
My dad died 7 weeks ago and he supported one team and I supported this other fucking team. So I was like, honor of my fallen father, I fucking stitched the two together.
No. Like, you're right. I don't have one, but like, you know, one kid played juniors for Brisbane and one kid played juniors for the Cowboys. So, you know, it was something like that.
I forgot what happened in that exchange was, because it was literally 2 minutes later that the fucking cop came and tried to evict him for having the Legionnaire hat that had cunt written on it.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, it happened directly after that, so.
Yeah. Fuck, I feel sorry for that guy's wife.
The copper?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You imagine living with that every day?
Yeah.
It's, oh, God.
Yeah, yeah. Not a happy existence. Scott said, will a second buy be good for the game, given the PVL meta is here to stay? Preferences on when you'd like your second buy, pre-Origin or post?
You want them post if you're a good team.
Yeah.
Like you want them post, or you want them during, so you're not playing in the games where your guys are playing Origin, where they're withdrawn from your side, you know?
Oh, fucking here we go again. There's the fucking thing for next year. Oh, these teams got their buys here, and this is an advantage, mm-hmm. or is it this? Fuck me.
Yeah.
You know what? This shit's going to happen until we have a system where the broadcast companies don't get to determine the draw and who plays when.
Yeah.
It's still one of my biggest fucking bugbears about how you get some teams that'll, you know, play each other 3 weeks apart, and other teams they'll play round 1 and round 20.
Yeah, well, the thing with the draw is, I mean, the draw's just dumped into an algorithm that they use in a number of sports worldwide, and it spits out the actual fixtures in terms of who plays each week. And then it goes to the TV, and it's like, you know, Fox in there, part of the deal. They get to pick Channel 9 gets the, you know, what, first and second picks or whatever, and then so forth.
Well, so why is it then? Again, like, tell me, last year, Penrith played Parramatta, like, in round 1 and round 4, and then not again for the rest of the season.
Yeah. Yeah. And same as Manly, like, in, like, 4 and 8 or something like that.
Yeah.
Manly played the Warriors, like, twice in about the first 6 weeks, I think, as well. Yeah. I guess that's, you know,
the system, the
algorithm takes in all the variables and it spits out what it does, and I'm sure that what it spits out isn't the only, you know, there's a million ways that these games could be aligned, and I guess they've just got to go through and just, you know, see which one kind of looks the most, you know, spread out, I suppose, and you're probably going to get situations where you do have, you know, teams playing each other uncomfortably close.
Fickle.
No, here we go. Speaking of Penrith supporters that also support Wynnum, Chris said, considering Dolphins are known pack rapists and baby killers, has a mascot suited an area more than the Dolphin suits Redcliffe? and Dan replied to him and said, "Hear, hear! I'm sick of people talking about them like they're the Gandhis of the sea."
Oh man! Did you get that thing I sent you the other day on false orcas?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Tell you what, that, like,
they're cool though.
Yeah, but again, talk about fucking sadistic pricks.
Yeah, but they're only sadistic to, like, the animal kingdom. I mean, they're cool with humans. They're actually friendly with humans.
Well, yeah, they know the score.
Yeah,
you know, if you, me, and Glenn were in the ocean and there were a bunch of cunts with harpoons, we'd be super nice to them and cunts to everyone else.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, look, I'm here for a fucking, yeah, a dolphin adjacent creature that will come up, and, you know, if I'm drowning, it'll fucking, you know, surf me into the shore or whatever. But at the same time, if it looks like I'm bored, it'll just start fucking ping ponging a seal around in the air, like, for my amusement. I mean,
yeah, but see, you didn't hear the other thing. They rape dolphins.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, look, honestly, they've got it coming, haven't they?
And because they're false orcas, and they're people think they're a whale,
yeah, yeah,
but then they're not really, but they think they're a whale. Those bastard offspring have the best name in the animal kingdom, Wolfins.
Yeah, exactly. And look, I'm here for the Wolfin takeover.
Yeah,
perhaps that should be the name of the 17th side, the Wolfins.
Oh, dear Lord.
And then they've got to unpack that for people. People go, oh, no, that's a terrible name.
Look, their logo could not be worse than what the West Tigers paid for.
That's true. Well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, they could get the same graphic designer to do their logo, and it would just look like a fucking, like a dolphin without a dorsal fin and all that shit. Just, I mean, if you're gonna take the claws of the tiger, you just got to take the fins off the
just
fucking.
Just look like a grey dick.
I did love though the way they describe what they look like.
Grey dick torpedo.
The way they describe what they look like is they look like somebody tried to draw a dolphin completely from memory. fucking modern day Attenboroughs we are.
At kindergarten. now, Scott said thoughts on the Dolphins being called just the Dolphins, as in you know, without a location attached to them. I think we covered that off earlier, pretty much, Scott. But if you need to go, you know, to revisit it, well, we're agreed. Probably what we would say North Brisbane Dolphins would be our preference if we're putting a location in there. Yeah,
100%.
And it may still happen as well. I mean, from what I read, it sounds like there will be an informal sort of, you know, Volandi style test the outrage and see what people are saying and, you know, make a decision from there.
Yeah.
All right, and then, well, go for Dan. Here we go. Ah, yeah. Talking about myself, I wanted to withhold my opinion on new rules, etc., until the year was over and there was a decent sample size. The time has come. It's a yay from me. Close games in the finals showed blowouts weren't necessarily the rules and probably just a lot to do with how far off the pace some teams are. Scott replied to him and said, to add to the off-the-pace thing, I think it's more about coaching and structures that are more adaptable to quick changes to the meta. A lot of teams have structured their contracts in 2018, 2019 meta before COVID hit. It can't be understated how quickly the rules changed and there was no testing or tweaking, no consideration for the lower leagues, which also had to change quickly. Junior clubs need to adapt quickly, etc. For one, think about how many kids in their formative years playing half would have been coached in old NRL structures before the rule changes, and all of a sudden years of structures need to also accommodate new fatigue factors, etc. It's not as simple as this team meets a mark, in my opinion. And I would agree with that. If you want me to give a yay or nay kind of assessment for the whole Volandi's ball that came in since the COVID shutdown, I'm going to say a warm to lukewarm yay. I think that the rules are by themselves probably aren't as bad as they appeared, especially with the blowouts earlier in the season. However, I don't think the finals redeemed them either. I think the finals had less to do with the teams being great and close and whatever, and more to do with the referees' adjudication of the games, particularly in terms of when they gave repeat sets, the fact they gave them far less, and also the use of penalties as well. And I think that the main determining factor in the rules, as we saw through the season, we had blowouts early, then all of a sudden the referees were told, hey, you've got to crack down on head-high tackles. So then we had, like, starting in Magic Round, it went for like 2-3 weeks, where there was just this fucking sin bin again and send-off again, where guys were getting, you know, love taps were getting 10 in the bin.
Yeah, that's it.
Proper head highs were getting sent off for the match. And then fast forward to the end of the year where, you know, like even the grand final, when you're getting some headshots in that game that were debatable whether they even became penalties.
They would have been send-offs.
Whereas they were instant send-offs, you know, 10 weeks earlier. Yeah. And so I think when you look at the rules, like I think that, like, I'm borderline on the rules themselves, you know, but, like lukewarm overall, but I think it's the referees' application of things that is the main determining factor on how successful or unsuccessful they are.
Yep.
Because remember, they halved the referees, and you're halving the number of referees, and then you're also amping up the pace of the game as well. So ultimately, what that means is you make the referees worse at their job because you had a ref, you know, you had one ref in the ruck, and the other one back setting the 10 meters in defense. But now one guy does both of those and he doesn't do either of them very well. And you had like head high tackles that the ref couldn't see because, you know, he's focusing on all these other things. And then you get teams like Penrith who did very well at like cheating the 10 meters in defense because the referee's concentrating on so much fucking stuff. They can basically pull, you know, you can see what the referee's focusing on and what he's concentrating on and take advantage in the areas he's not. So I think it's more you've got the administration of the rules overall in terms of like the edicts that were, you know, like, okay, we're penalizing head high tackles more and blah blah blah, coming from the top. But then you've got the application of those rules in a in-game situation, and then you go down to, you know, the coaching adapting to the new style, and then the, you know, the quality of a player or the fitness of the players or the suitability of players to that new style. So I think given a full complete off season without any internationals or anything at the end of the season, I think you're going to see teams probably line up better at the start of the season next year and more adapted especially with the coaches who aren't good coaches. Like Trent Barrett, for example, is not a fucking good coach. And the Bulldogs, while they had a high completion rate and ball security, they were fucking terrible still and came last by a small margin. So maybe Trent Barrett, given, you know, the expertise of Phil Gould and 3 months to fucking strategize around what to do, you know, I think that the level of the teams that weren't up to the pace this year, I think that they'll increase their level, their base level, which will reduce blowouts. But at the same time, I am loath to reward wholesale changes to the rules that were done without consultation or any of that shit. Like, that reactionary shit too is fucked as well.
The reactionary shit. And the reasons behind it. I think we just need to understand or appreciate what they want their end result to be. There's a lot of shit that in my head could be improved. Things like, I think if you get a six again call,
yep,
should be reserved for the last three tackles in a set. Or for the last four tackles in a set. And for the first two, there's no six again. It's just straight out penalties.
Yeah, okay.
Which stops the whole,
sacrifice one tackle to pin the team down a bit. Yeah, it's, you know, yeah. I can dig it.
But then again, we've just got to understand, where do they want the advantage to lie?
This is the thing. Like, what can you say? Can you actually say what was the actual goal of the NRL or Channel 9, who probably
less downtime. It was to have less downtime in the game and less stoppages.
So more time with the ball in play.
That's it.
Yeah.
So, you know, do you take a leaf from other sports and have injury time at the end?
Yeah, because if that was the goal, I don't think they achieved it. Because think of the they also introduced a lot more influence from the bunker, and then the bunker would stop the game in order to put a guy in report from fucking five tackles earlier and things like that. But
the clock stops.
Yeah, but I mean, they're increasing the length of time. They're increasing the length of time of those stoppages, though. You know what I mean?
No, so it's not the stoppages that are the problem. There's a thing. It's not the stoppages themselves. It's that the fact that the clock was running during stoppages.
Mm.
Whereas
I don't think they wanted halts in play. Not time wise. I'm talking like actual halts in action.
But you know, I'm not so against advantages for the defensive team. So if you can give away a tackle to set your defensive line, fair enough. I agree with everything you've said there, Nathan. And the biggest determining factor is how the rules were enforced and interpreted.
Yeah.
And the underutilization of the bunker.
Yeah. I'd actually like to see them go back to two referees and see how two referees adjudicating on that rule set would go. I mean, you'd presumably get less fatigued referees, and so just like players make poor decisions under fatigue, so do referees.
Mm.
Also, referees that have to have their focus in too many areas at the one time, and certainly conflicting areas as well. I mean, you can't really be focusing on like the 10 as much as, you know, if you're focusing on the ruck.
Yeah. But see, this is the thing. Why do we do things like give the sideline to the ref, because the sideline's a fucking job all on its own?
Yeah.
But we've got one ref, and sometimes a touchy, to be fair. You know, policing the 10 metres. Why not give the fucking 10 metres to the cunts up in the sky looking with a bird's eye view on if people are or are not onside?
Mm.
Every play, they've got a fucking radio down into the cunt's ear.
Yep.
Mate, give it to Parafans. Give it to Parafans. They are fucking adamant. They know when people are onside every single fucking tackle. Or more importantly, when the other team's offside, because it's every fucking tackle. They'd sort the fucking game out. Para fans. Cunts. A lot of them.
Where'd that come from all of a sudden?
Oh, I just spent a lot of time as a young fella watching fucking games at Parramatta Stadium or Campbelltown Stadium against Parramatta and Para fans. Cunts. Get them on side, hey, ref. That's where that fucking term, the derogatory term, get them on side and fucking the meme-ness of it originated at Parramatta Stadium.
Hey, so I know you follow the NFL, Glennie.
Mm-hmm.
Did you happen to watch the game the other day on, what day is it, on Tuesday, the Monday Night Football game between the Indianapolis Colts and the Baltimore Ravens?
I saw the Lamar Jackson highlights. I didn't actually watch the game.
Did you see the Lamar Jackson highlight where he ran and tried to score a touchdown himself, got tackled around the 1 yard or 2 yard line, fumbled it. A guy scooped it up, in defender scooped it up. He got to about the 20, and as he starts to get tackled around the legs, he fucking does a picture perfect offload to another player who sets off down the field. And for a touchdown. Then they look at it on the replay, and they first obviously you have to look and see about Lamar Jackson's knee and if it was on the ground and if it actually was a fumble or if he was down. And they determined, no, it was a fumble. And the guy that received possession, that was fine too. And then they get to the offload and they go and they run it through the slow motion and they're adjudicating on it being a forward pass on the action replay. The irony. And let me tell you, well, the first thing, it was refreshed. You go, hey, fuck, they're adjudicating on forward passes. But then you realized how little they adjudicate on forward passes because this was a fucking textbook rugby league. Hands go backwards.
Yeah, yeah.
And the guys were falling forward and the momentum goes through and the guy caught it pretty much in line with him, maybe slightly in front of him. But you could, I mean, it was the perfect argumentative rugby league thing. Like, clearly he was through it backwards and the whole, you know, physics of it all carried it forward. And they're like going, they just basically like a fucking, like a Fox News fan, just drawing a line and going, nut forward. So the ball is a penalty for throwing the forward pass and the ball, you know, they've got possession, but they take the ball from, you know, the whatever line. And I thought, wow. First I was excited because like, holy fuck, the big leagues are gonna adjudicate on forward passes and here we fucking go. Like maybe this will give Vlandys an idea. No.
Not even close.
No. Ryan said in 2023, will the Dolphins treat the trophy better than Penrith did? Well, I mean, well, they're not going to get to hold the trophy.
Tell you what, they won't drop it as many times as Penrith did. I guarantee you that.
Now, what else do we have here? Michael said, given asterisk par deux, what do you think the chances are for a Roosters three-peat in 2022? And can the Raiders bounce back from runners-up? I do not think the Raiders can. They can't bounce from anywhere.
No,
unfortunately. Look, I think the Roosters are looking at a pretty good season next year. I mean, given what they did with what they had this year, I mean, there's no reason for them not to be very confident about their prospects next season.
So hang on, they got no Mozzies.
Well, they didn't fucking have the Mozzies all season either. This is the thing.
No, but they don't get them back though. That's what I'm saying. So they don't get the Mozzies back. They don't get Cordner back. They don't get Friend back. Who do they get?
But that's okay, like because they did fine when Verrills was there. So I think they can close the door on the year of
Friend.
Of Friend.
That's it.
They're gonna get Keary back. Walker and Hutchinson both proved to be excellent players. Teddy's Teddy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they're.
But essentially, all that's changed there from what they had is Keary. And Verrills being around.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not markedly different.
I dare say that they'll have a better season next year.
Yeah. Keary's a stiff breeze away from a career-ending HIA. He's fucking cooked.
Well, you know, they used to say that about Pappy, didn't they?
Well, look how well this season turned out. Didn't get invited to the fucking after party. Everyone fucking hates him. Poor cunt.
Kurt, a tough question, but how can Victorian Rugby League implement better junior pathway systems? With the AFL draft system heavily favouring Victorian junior prospects from elite public schools or private schools, 70% of draftees come from private education. This is leaving a lot of disadvantaged athletes from lower socioeconomic suburbs of Melbourne and rural Victoria in the dark. How can the Storm or NRL take advantage of this? Curious to know your thoughts. I think it sounds like a fucking golden opportunity for the NRL and the Melbourne Storm.
Tell you what, first thing they should do is just make sure to vaccinate all of the kids to play rugby league, because
free potato cakes for everyone.
In Melbourne, there are so many teachers who want to do, you know, period one on mathematics, period two on English, and period three just cough smallpox all over the little cunts. They think that should be their right as a teacher, and they're fighting for it legally. So if they just vaccinate the kids, then all the others who aren't vaccinated will die off. Good fucking riddance to them. And then all that will be left are rugby league players. So that within 20 years, that will be the only sport in Melbourne. And it will essentially be the deconstruction of the AFL.
And what will they sell when rugby league takes over? What will they sell at the food stalls at the rugby league?
Well, what it's...
Don't
what
let it me is, down, you cunt.
No. So there's a potato cake, which is... Now, if I say this to you, right, what's a chocolate cake? It's a cake with chocolate made... What's a cheesecake? It's a cake made out of cheese. What do you think a potato cake is? It's not a fucking cake made out of potatoes. It's just a potato, and it's deep fried. Dude, we're crazy down here.
You are a fucking fruitcake.
We don't need to make sense.
Now Kurt, honestly, it sounds like if what you're saying is accurate, and those figures are you know, massive in favour of... It's much like union... going to, you know, like private schools going to union and you know, public schools being like league schools. But to me, it sounds like there's a fucking ton of young athletes down there that are just ripe for the picking for the Melbourne Storm. How they take advantage of it, I don't know. But I mean, whatever the NRL are investing down there, they should fucking crank it up, because if those figures are correct... That's they're leaving a lot of potential players, Storm players, at the very least. Considering there's like, you know, not that, despite all the time the Storm been down, there's not that many guys that have come through their system from Victoria.
It's because they've had the level of success that they've had based on the model of affiliating themselves with Q Cup teams and fostering players through that system. Yeah. The answer's generational. Really, and it probably should have started well before now. But if you
say, because they've had a generation,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
And I think if you look at the AFL and what they do with schools, even here in Queensland, you know, it's fucking jammed down kids' necks in junior school. So, I think the NRL, there is an opportunity there for sure, and I think they need to be pretty shrewd and invest significantly and wisely and let it play out. But it needs to be a fairly strong and consistent message over a long time to make the inroads that it can. But it can be done, because you only have to look at what the AFL's done in Brisbane and Sydney in particular to make inroads.
Yeah.
What's rugby league doing at schools? Up here.
A grand total.
Like nothing, like nothing in my schools.
A grand total of fucking nothing.
Mm. Yeah.
Now they sit there and wait, just let it happen. Just let it come to them.
It is fucking arrogance.
Mm.
And it is terrible.
Yeah.
the interesting thing about everything we're saying here, we're talking about how the draft, it's this and it's private schools and yada, yada, yada. Let's be real. If there's a kid from a disadvantaged background and they're good enough, they'll get a scholarship and a free ride to a private school.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't think just all of these draftees coming from private schools says that none of those kids come from disadvantaged backgrounds, because the scouts are out there.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, in Victoria, all of the kids, no matter their background, want to play AFL.
Yes.
It's not like the kids are there playing AFL on the weekend going, fuck, if only there was another option for me because of my fucking family's poor choices with money, this doesn't have a future for me. They want to be the next fucking, you know...
Speaking of ignorance. Name fucking, one player.
Fucking Jumpy McProtest or whoever the AFL star is. But what they need to do is show kids that there is a pathway and there is a future for them in rugby league. And the way AFL do it up here is fucking phenomenal. So their AusKick program, have you taken a deep dive into how that works?
Yeah, Kill's done it a couple of years.
Okay, so he is now a registered AFL participant, along with every other kid in his school that did AusKick.
Yeah, and they probably get like across, I mean, it's a small school, probably across the six grades, his primary school probably only had, you know, let's say 250, perfect, you know, 300 kids. I reckon they would have 40 of them doing the AusKick when they roll
perfect
around.
Perfect.
Yeah. So it's a fucking decent chunk of them, 100%.
But, you know, look across the state.
Yep.
Yeah. So you didn't pay anything for that, did you?
Don't think so, no.
No. So it's free of charge, but he is a registered participant.
Yep.
And then when they go to people like state governments or local councils or whoever it is and say, look, we have 100,000 registered participants in your electorate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why don't we build a new fucking AFL field? Or why don't you help this club? Or why don't you give us this grant to do that?
Mm. Yep.
Rugby league does nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a shit fight. Junior rugby league is a fucking international cunt circus like no other sport in this country.
Mm.
And if you look at the state of... Sorry to cut you off, mate.
No, go for it.
If you look at the state of rugby in this country, it's poorly followed, but every kid gets a visit from the Reds here in Queensland, all the schools, so many schools get, you know, they all come home with a fucking hat and a footy and,
oh, sorry, and all the rest. Not all of us send our kids to elite country private schools, Glenn. Check your privilege.
I've checked it. I left it in ads. and they get all this gear, but then there's no legitimate real pathway. And most kids, because they get the Reds footy or the hat or whatever, and they might see them when they come round to their school again, but there's no real traction there. Whereas the NRL is by far the most popular and well followed sport, and they're not even doing what the Reds are doing.
Yeah, you that's
know? It. It's crazy.
But you know, the difference is, you know, you compare the first days, right? So, so my boys just started competitive basketball, and you turn up on the day you put into your teams. This is the first day we turned up to meet the team, right? You get to the stadium. You get there, and then they would have had 10 teams sitting there waiting. And they went and got, I want to say they were probably from between under 14s to under 16s rep players, and got a bunch of them and said, great, you're the coach of that team, you're the coach of that team, you're the coach of that team. And they'll be there every fucking weekend to coach the kids.
Mm.
You compare that to rugby league, where you turn up on the first day, you've paid quadruple the price to get your kid in. And then they divvy you up into your teams, and, you know, someone from the club that obviously thinks they're very fucking important comes over and says, rightio, one of the parents will need to be the coach, one of the parents will need to be the manager, one of the parents will need to be the first aid officer. See ya.
Yeah.
It's
a fucking lived shit it. Fight. Yeah. Lived it. Like, exactly. You know? Rugby league, participation with kids relies on the passion and the want of the parents to do it.
Yeah. Which doesn't exist in Melbourne.
Well, it doesn't, but but it exists less and less in the modern day when, you know, most families have both parents working.
Yep.
Very often shift work.
Yep.
You know, it's
Let's not understate the impact of all the other, plenty of other parents on the team who think their kid's a superstar and their parents are cunts because the kid sits on the bench for a little 3 minutes longer than what the parent thinks they should have.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So
the next season, the parent who decided they were going to be the coach or the manager or the first aid officer says, fuck that.
It's, I've harped on long and wide about the junior pathways. What rugby league should be doing every time there's a game in Melbourne, every time the team should be compensated for it, either before or after, they should be out there running clinics in the community. Like Manly did it up here when they used to come up and play Brisbane.
Yep.
They'd put on clinics. It was actually just near the entertainment centre at Boondall.
The Tigers did it in Redcliffe and promptly a lot of kids gave up rugby league.
Miraculously, they fucking lost their why.
You know, and here's the benefit for that. Like, you know, you paid $20 for the afternoon for your kids to do drills and skills with Manly players. And then 2 weeks later, they get a parcel in the post with a fucking a hat and a kid-sized footy that says, you're now a junior member. Here's a sticker. So.
Yep. Good guys, Eagles. James, thanks for the reminder. So he said, is the iTunes review / Manscaped competition still a thing? If so, when do we find out who won? I'm starting to look and smell like the final days of Pablo Escobar. Can you help a brother out? I can help you out by going to manscaped.com and save 20% in free shipping with code TwillNation at checkout. However...
Don't be a cheap cunt.
As we said, though, next... so we got the Twillies next Wednesday. Winner will be announced then.
Yes.
Along with the voter for the Twillies, who is winning a 2022 membership as well. So all will be taken care of in the final episode on next Wednesday. Now, Jason finally said, what movie or movies which are regarded as the best of all time that you haven't seen? Glenny, you can sit this one out. Jason, I'm gonna send this one back to you, mate, and I think you need to at least provide us with a list of 10 or something like that, because I mean, what is this regarded as the best movies of all time list that we're working from?
I haven't seen
Human Centipede 2 or 3. I have seen the first one, though.
I've never seen Titanic.
Right. Yeah, really like one of the best movies ever? No, it's one of the highest grossing sort of things. But... Well,
that's it. Like, it was a popular movie, and by the fact that it grossed so much money,
yeah,
you would assume lots of people have seen that.
Yeah. I've seen it. You're not missing anything. Don't rush out, mate.
I've seen, was it Mythbusters that did the fucking thing where, like, they checked how they both should have fit on the door at the end?
Yeah.
Or was internet video?
Can I tell you, you didn't have to take a fucking a pocket square into the theater to look at that door on fucking screen and go, there's plenty of room, you fucking hog. Shove over and let fucking Gilbert Grape on there, you bitch. Yeah, no, it was blatantly apparent that selfish bitch.
Was that the director's cut where she's on the door and he floats by on Mama?
I think you're going to need to give us throw some names at us, the ones that you regard as the best movies of all time that have not been seen, or find a list with some sort of consensus opinion if you like. I mean, I would like to think that I've made an effort to go out and seek out movies that are well reviewed, but certainly older movies as well. You know, if they were ones that are from before my time, but look, you know, you never know. There may be a gap in there for sure. Like I know that certainly over recent years, I haven't seen as many. I used to make a point to sort of go and see all the Oscar contenders and everything every year, so I could sort of formulate an opinion on what I thought was the best one. But that fucking felt, you know, kids came along and that fell by the wayside. And the days of buying fucking season passes to the Brisbane International Film Festival and watching 20 movies in a fucking 2 weeks, those days are fucking long, long gone.
Well, especially these days when fucking Oscar films are essentially someone videotaping an interpretive dance performance.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, no.
Yeah. So let us know and we'll let you know. And on that note, full time, fellas, for episode 440. Thanks for listening. As always, you can find links to our various social media communities, Patreon, and more. Head to thisweekinleague.com/links. And as of today, if you head to thisweekinleague.com/links, the top link on there will be to voting in the 2021 Twilly Awards. So as always, they're our season-ending awards and the most prestigious awards in the history of rugby league. So get in there, vote, and if you go through to the end and fill in the entire thing and drop some details at the end for us, you'll go into the running for a 2022 Twill Nation membership, all of your own, for free. So voting will run through until the afternoon of Wednesday, the 20th of October, at which point it will close and the results will be revealed next Wednesday's episode.
Tell you what, got a late runner for fucking NRL chaos. It's fucking this episode.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I've learned. Look, yeah, I've made mistakes in my life. But I'll tell you what, one thing I've learned from this show is when creating the ballot for the Twillies, remove the other field from every answer, because the fucking horse shit that had to be parsed out, that people put that. Oh, fucking year after year of fucking Scott Minto for every single positional category, and oh my fucking god.
But the worst part, like, you'd take it if there wasn't this fucking knowledge that it was a fact that that person sat there in their fucking lounge room and typed that into every category, thinking that not only were they hilarious, but that we would be there fucking ready going, oh, put Scott Minow for prop.
Yeah.
How hilarious. It's funny because he's not a prop.
Unlucky Matthew McCarthy. That's not the case. Oh, yeah. I know it was you. I knew it was you, Fredo. I knew it was you.
Speaking of that, I forgot he bet me $100 that Penrith wouldn't win the grand final this year.
Wouldn't?
No.
Oh, on your bets.
At cash. The grand final last year.
Oh, they wouldn't win this year.
Yeah.
Well, you just won yourself a hundo.
So,
I hope you got it on video, though, the way that these bets are better.
I know, hey.
Notarized.
Look, there's...
Doesn't Grover have some bet to honour as well? Shit.
No.
Oh, so I have to delete that out, do I?
Yes.
Oh, fuck. Honor your bet, Grover. Honor your bet. And on that note, that's it, fellas. Sorry, I got one more thing. A couple of new Patreon members this week, some wonderful patrons, and just would like to welcome Poiter, Ashley, MacGyver, aka Lachlan, and we know who you are from your email address, but I just have to call attention to your name, that your username you've given yourself in Patreon. Welcome, Billy Gay Anus. yeah, we appreciate you, Billy Gay, and all our other wonderful patrons. And on that note, that's it for this week, folks. See you for the Twillies on Wednesday.
Later.
See ya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.